Welcome to Authentic Conversation with Kim. Thank you so much for allowing Authentic Conversation with Kim to be a part of your day. My disclaimer, I do not own the rights of the song. But I thought about this morning. You know, there's a saying that if you don't stand for something, that you fall for anything. And I just needed to be encouraged today and to remind us, you know, that the information that we have and the wisdom that we have and the knowledge and the common sense that we have, I think that we're grown enough and old enough to be able to make adjustments if needed, right? Based on information, based on where we are and having to adapt to things. But I am a firm believer, and I stand on this, that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That there are just certain things that are just going to be non-negotiable. That's just going to be what is right. That there is an absolute and a testament to its ability to sustain and to be relevant throughout all time. I'm a firm believer in that. And right now, when we look and when we look at all the things that's going on and all the conversations that are happening, and, you know, we have to be able to decipher between it all. And again, having something credible, something solid, not moving all up and down and all around is so interesting, because the other day I was looking at something and it was very intriguing to the point where it was like, oh, okay, that makes total sense. But when I stepped away and I really had to, like, I had to sit and mull over it for a while. And I was like, you know, if possible, the very elect would be fooled, that how the bad thing is so close to the good thing. Like, it's just really close to certain degrees and certain instances. And we have to be able, and I had to step back and say, hold up, wait a minute. No, that can't be true based on this, 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 and this. Or And interesting enough, this person had research, they had books, they had terminology, they sound real strong and confident in what they were saying. But then you had to do your own research, and then you had to actually look, and then you had to factor in some information and some things and say, okay, now I can't ascribe to that as complete and whole truth. You know what I'm saying? And if it's not a complete and whole truth, then there's a fallacy in it. And right now we're living in a time where we're going to have to be able to make that stance on what are we with or what are we not with? What is okay and what's not okay? What we doing and what we not doing? Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? And I refrain from calling names and stuff like that because of the mere fact that it could be anybody actually doing it, right? But the fact that certain people have major platforms and you find them doing certain things or certain behaviors, then you want to call them out or say, what we doing? But the bottom line is, when there's a move of righteousness and there's a move of joy and there's a move of gladness, God said his gifts are without sorrow. God is not about shame and lack. That's not who he is. So again, when we're looking at certain situations, when dealing with people and it don't balance itself out and it's not a reflection of God, then that's not okay. And now we're saying literally, and please, I've been in the church for so long, that we're saying literally anything and everything goes. That's jarring. You know what I'm saying? To say anything and everything goes, no matter what, if it's fine and that God is a part of it. As a comedian, and one day he was like, God ain't even in your building fund. Or God ain't in this, or God ain't in this. And it's interesting because we can't say what he is and what he's not into. But then you could look and be like, okay, well, And it's just that time right now. And I know for me personally, I take a step back and I had to take a step back. And just look at everything and look at this stuff as it's playing out. And what I do see is that some of us can get too big for our bridges and get beyond ourselves. And Lord have mercy, because we don't know. People didn't become who they are until they was 50 and 60 years old or 70 years old. Moses ain't get to free the people until he was 80. And then you have people who been in this since they was 20 years old, and you have people who have been able to remain relevant and humble at the same time. And then you've had people who, again, have really gotten beyond themselves. I think about Solomon. I think about David. I think about those that we uplift and are major contributors to our information in the walk with God, or how one would walk with God. And the one thing that they said about Solomon was that the Bible says that he was one of the wisest. And y'all heard me speak of this many a day. And he was one of the wisest. And yet and still you find that he was able to build the temple. But then he had all these concubines and they was doing the most. And in my mind, that wasn't wise at all. But then you have David, a man after God's own heart, anointed by God from youth, made to be king, and yet and still, falters in his way. And so I'm mindful of how we look at our leaders and how we look at people and, the scrutiny that we have upon them. Because, again, if these specific men I just mentioned, genuinely confess that there was a God in their lives that they ascribed to, that they pay homage to, that they made sacrifices to, that they prayed to, that they were endowed by. And so these men that we deal with now that either are walking that way or not walking that way are very susceptible to falling and disgrace, whether it be male and or female. And so I marveled, and that's why we have to be very careful. You know, we say, but for the grace of God, go I. So I'm not sitting here, and this is that I was talking to somebody, and it's talk about, you know, no, we're never, mommy said, and she would say, you know, my mom, she would be like a mom to y'all too, but she was anyway. But my mom would say, you know, we're not better than anybody. And she taught us that as young, and nobody was better than us. But then as I've learned and I'm living, it's like there's differences in who we are. It's differences in our decisions. It's differences in what we would want to do. And what happens is when you choose to be different in certain situations and you're not going along with everything and you're not participating or you're questioning certain things, now you're the problem. Because we're supposed to just go along and get along and you're not supposed to have any questions. And my concern is, why is it that if anything is worth building and anything is legit and it is solid, then why wouldn't you be able to answer any questions that come along with it? So I find that very intriguing, but nonetheless. And so yesterday, here we go again. I've been in church a long time, like a long time, like most, if not all my life, I've been affiliated, a part of church. And I've seen some stuff. This stuff that I'm seeing they say you live long enough. It's some stuff that I'm seeing that I've never saw before. And I'm like, in my mind, like, how does that even work? And what the sad thing or disparaging thing is that not only is it seems like everything is divided. And if you look at any sphere of influence, there's a division somewhere in there. And the word scripture clearly says a house divided cannot stand. And so we haven't become nowhere close to having a consensus as how we're going to actually work together, have harmony together for the wholeness of the body, for the people, for all of us, for our communities, for our country, for our countrymen, for our fellow men, for humanitarian purposes. I saw the other day this major conglomerate, like the fight that y'all choose is to be in somebody's business as far as a discussion because of leadership, but as far as the community is concerned, ain't nobody heard of you. You haven't done anything to help the impoverished, to help single mothers, to help children, to help education, none of that. And I really think that we choose the wrong battles from time to time in order to say that we're combating in order for greatness and goodness. And it's across the board. I'm venting right now in a little bit of I'm disappointed. And maybe disillusioned too. Y'all hear me talk about my utopia all the time and my level of naivety or my hopes. And I'm a realist at the same time, and being astute of the fact that we have become people self-serving interests. And wanting people to like us and to follow us and to applaud us. And when they don't, or they have a question, or there's accountability, there's a problem. But in my thoughts, you can't have one without the other legitimately. That makes sense, because now if I'm subscribing to who you are as an individual, as a person, as a mentor, as a coach, as a representation of or whatever it may be, I should be allowed to have questions. Because if you don't allow somebody who is a part of you to inquire of you, then that means that you're just leading people and not making them leaders. You're not helping them to become better for having been in your company or having been under your tutelage or having been around you. Because to my understanding, it's about everybody being empowered. But to a degree of strengthening the whole, to a degree of admonishing that which is right and what is wrong. So I was interrupted, pardon me. To be able to stand on something solid. I'm telling y'all, I look at this stuff and I'm just like, this is what we doing now? It says that a man have exchanged the truth for a lie. What is that? We have all these terms now identifying and telling us who we are and what people are. Narcissistics, whatever. How about you just not nice people? Like, we put a name on it. You're hurting people. You're destroying people. And the thing about it is I saw this lady, and she talked about how it's a spirit because there's no way that so many people can be experiencing the same exact thing. The same exact thing. They have groups and books and all this stuff about this particular behavior of an individual and the outcome of having dealt with an individual such as, and it's all the same. It's like repetitive. So it would have to be a spirit, right? And so I think about that we need to be able to make these distinctions as to what it is we're dealing with, how we ought to deal with it, and the best way for us to be able to overcome it, regardless of what it is. And look, it's hurtful to me. I found out that two people that I know, and I talked about this the other day, the marriage, right? So I found out some information about it. So I call a person, and the reason why I call a person is because I got their number. And what I'm not doing is talking behind their back when I can ask the person. And now this person felt, well, you know, well, that's my business. Okay, you're absolutely right. It is your business. But my thing is, again, we laugh with people, but we don't get to cry with people. Or we serve with people, and we walk with people, and, you know, all. When do we decide when we not sharing information or when it's not somebody's business? So when I'm out here and you getting all the accolades and all the fanfare and you doing the most, that's my business. But when you sitting here and you downtrodden and you hurt and you feel some kind of way and you in need, that's not my business. And we continue to pick and choose. And respectfully, because me and this person known each other a while, they knew where I was coming from. But I'm devastated because what I'm not happy about anybody being broken. I'm not happy about any marriage not working out. I'm not happy about any child not being successful. I'm not happy when the enemy has a foothold in anybody's life. That's me personally. And respectfully, I don't want to sit here and be assuming anything. And I'm not trying to leave my life to an assumptions of people. Now, granted, people can think what they want to think. I am that person. You can ask me. By the way, acwkim@outlook.com. Ask me anything. If I have the answer, I have the answer. If I don't have the answer, I don't have the answer. I can say, you know, respectfully, I plead the fifth, or and I decline from answering that. Yeah, respectfully. And people have that choice, but I'm very candid in the sense of what's going on. Like, what can we do to help make it better? And so come to find out, they been done. You know what I'm saying? They been done. Like, I'm like way after the fact. And so I'm like, respectfully, so now, you know, I want you to stay covered, stay in God. And I'm still in my level of not even been there, done that. Why it ends? And then you tell me, oh, well, Kim, you know, well, it's seasons, it's reasons, it's lifetime. Marriage supposed to be lifetime. That's it. And I just found out the other day that one of the celebrities, that she was married 3 times. Who knew? Had no idea she had been married 3 times. And I get it. But then biblically, it says that if you marry and you get a divorce, then you're not supposed to marry again. So we've justified that. And again, based on interpretation, based on how you feel, based on what we're doing this week, based on what's relevant, based on what they say, based on what's going to get you paid, based on what's like, we get to pick and choose this. And then you have that person that scrutinizes and saying you're doing too much, or it's not that hard, or it's not that simple, or it's not that easy, or it may be very difficult. Like, it's a smorgasbord right now. And it's very difficult to digest, because there's just so much going on. So I say all that to say that we hone in on what it is that we know. What has remained tried and true? What aims to be significant? What have we seen actually work? What do we need to make adjustments for the betterment of our lives and the betterment of those that are around us? You understand what I'm saying? That part. Because all change is not good. That I stand on. Imagine my face.